Amen. Good singing on your guys' part there. Boone, you have been a blessing to us already, sir. We are looking forward to it this morning. Come on and share with us, sir.
Amen. Yes, that's a great old hymn. It's maybe not an old hymn. It may be something a little bit newer. But I'm glad to be here. I have guests that came this morning. Very special, the Setzer family, Craig and Teresa Setzer. Teresa was one of my students when I started teaching at Marionville a little bit ago. I won't even go back to the date, but I got to do her wedding. She and Craig got married at South Haven Church there in Springfield. Beautiful ceremony, beautiful bride. Craig looked okay too, you know, one of those kind of deals. No, it really was. It was wonderful. They have two wonderful sons. I've had certainly the older boy, the older young man in my class as well. In fact, I recall a time, I'm kind of reminiscing here because it's a cold. I think if I talk a little bit, I'll warm up. You know, Blake and I got into a one-on-one. He worked me over. He just did. He was no mercy type guy. Left-handed. I was left-handed. He was left-handed, and he prevailed. One of those things. But anyway, I'm thinking back on Craig and Trace. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. And I don't, maybe it's your first time to be here. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. Love seeing these children. Got to meet Taylor, sat by me for a time, and Jaden came up and introduced herself, and her brother Caden. And of course, Austin was front and center right in there. And youngsters are such a blessing. They really are. I am convinced when the Lord said, let the little children come to me, don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. I think he may have grabbed two or three of them, got them on the floor and woolered them and wrestled them and loved on them as only you can with little children. You know, I mentioned early in the week about I kind of dreaded vacation Bible school, but you know, in 40 or so years of ministry, in interacting with youngsters, especially in VBS, I really came to realize how important it is for a local church to love on boys and girls. Help them realize just how special the Lord is and how special they are in the Lord's sight. I want to share a message this morning. I'm going to kind of go back to maybe 101, walking with the Lord, trusting Christ, looking to Him. It's a text. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. You have your Bibles open to them. I was told this morning that your website or your Facebook page is relating the messages over Facebook, and that's great. The more communication we can get about the gospel, the more people are going to hear it, and we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, and we know His word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Can literally get into areas of your soul that nothing else can. This passage in John 14 is one that is a reassurance passage. It's a scripture text, at least the verses, the six verses I'm going to speak to today, is one I've used in countless funerals. I believe it does bring comfort to a family, perhaps, that's lost a loved one, because it has a lot to say about heaven. But we're going to touch on those early verses, but our focus this morning is going to be verse 6. So stand with me as we look to the Word of God this morning, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and we'll just trust God for how He wants to move this morning. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Philip said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." Let's bow for a moment as we pray. Father in heaven, Thank you for the simplicity of this word that, yes, Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And when we see you, we see the Father. When we worship you, we worship at the throne. We come to realize, Lord, that you call us to yourself. You invite us to come close, to learn of you, to grow in our walk with you. I pray for this church today, Father. I know you have a great purpose for them. I pray for their ministry to youngsters, their ministry in this community, their partnership with the Clever school system, Father. Just bless us today now as we worship you. Give us ears to hear, Father, and a mind that can be transformed and renewed because of the mighty power of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And you be seated, if you would. You know, let's begin and let's look at this for just a moment, this scripture passage. Let not your heart be troubled. Of course, he had been telling them, I've come from the Father, I'm going to go back to the Father. It's just something that was right there. Where I'm going to go, you can't go. You can see me, you'll not see me in a little while, and then in a little while, you'll see me again. And it just kind of was kind of mysterious. It was just kind of fuzzy. It was just kind of something they couldn't get their arms around, couldn't grasp what he was trying to communicate to them. But he kept helping them to understand, let not your hearts be troubled. In fact, if we were to jump down to verse 27 in this same chapter, Jesus said to the people, the disciples that were there, peace I leave with you, my peace give I to you. Not like the peace of the world give I to you. And then he said it again, let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. So I want you to come to think this morning as we hear the word of God, as we consider the truth of God's word, that we would allow the Lord Jesus, let his peace reign and rule in our hearts, and let him minister and counsel. You know, he is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And yes, he is the Prince of Peace. And we want to embrace that. We want to receive that as we learn and listen to the word of God. But he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In fact, that verse, you believe in God, believe also in me, really matches up kind of like bookends from the early part of the passage to the last part, saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, that part, no man comes to the Father except by me. So we come to God, we have to come to Christ. It's one thing to say the Lord, or God did this, or God did that, and we can say it in a very reverential way. But I want to share with you this morning, you come to learn to use and unleash the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God is going to elevate and move and touch hearts as nothing else can. So embrace this idea. I want to convey Jesus to others. I want to share his name. I want to be bold. I want to recognize that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel has said Christ died for my sins and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. I want to lift that name up because I know it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. I remember when I first started teaching, I had teacher pleasers and I had criminals. You know what I'm saying? And I had a few in the middle. Teresa was a teacher. In fact, she helped me with papers and all kind of stuff. She's probably ready for me to quit using her as an example any old time. You know how that goes. My wife used to say, hey, Boone, you don't need to use the family as an example all the time. But you know, I used to think the teacher pleasers, they were tight. They were right in there with the Lord. I remember I was riding around with a driver ed group in around Marionville, and somebody brought a student's name up to me, and for the life of me, I can't even remember that youngster's name. But they said, you know, she got saved at revival the other night here in Marionville. And I was thinking, boy, young kid, never do anybody any harm, always ready to help, always ready to support. Just a delight to have in the class was a sinner undone who needed the grace of God as surely as those criminals that just laid awake nights trying to make my life, bring grief to my life as a teacher. We all need Jesus. There's none of us that have done good. No, not one. And so when we look at this passage of what the Lord is wanting to reassure us about, when we come to trust him, We really are. And the confidence of there's a place for me in my Father's house, and I'm a child of the King. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I want you to have that confidence when you leave this service this morning. The Lord is saying some things when he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the Lord had a way of taking things that we thought were places way out yonder, or events that were going to happen way out at another time, and just bring them down to our minds and our hearts and help us realize, just look to me. You remember when Martha says, after Jesus was there at the tomb and Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, he said to her, you know, your brother's going to rise in the resurrection. He'll rise again. And Martha said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. Well, she had that event way on yonder, way on down. And Jesus, he just looked at her and he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, yet will he live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die, will never perish, will never be separated from the presence and the glory of Almighty God. I mean, look to me and live is what he's saying there. So we come to the thrust of this idea, where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know. And Philip said, don't have a clue. But we really don't know where you're going. We really don't know the way because we don't know where it is. And he said, Philip, he didn't use the word Philip. He just said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's look at these three thoughts today in the heart of this message of knowing Jesus in a greater way. When the Lord said, I'm the way, he was teaching and admonishing all through his ministry that there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. And most are going to find the broad way, the way of destruction. In fact, the Proverbs list two, maybe three times. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof leads to death. You know, we think of the American way, the way that lets us buy a home and own some ground and raise our kids and get a good education and be a good neighbor. Those things aren't wrong. Those things aren't wrong at all. But I'm just going to share with you, it's not necessarily the way of grace. That narrow way, that straight gate that Mark spoke of, something that would be very difficult. In fact, when Paul talked about that narrow way, that way of focusing on Jesus, when he said, I want to know Christ, I want to know the power of his resurrection, I want to share in the fellowship of his suffering, we come to realize that it isn't always going to be rosy. It isn't going to be a piece of cake. There's going to be striving. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be people speaking against you. And quite frankly, if your cup of tea is everybody thinking you're a pretty good old boy, you've missed the very essence of what Jesus said it meant to be a disciple. They hated me. They're going to hate you. They've given me grief. They're going to give you grief. Don't expect for the servant to be above the master. And so we look at that way as a very narrow way, and yet it's the way of life. It's the way of righteousness. I brought a kind of a visual aid this morning. I love history. I've got this railroad spike. It's a golden spike because I've got spray gold paint on it. You know how that goes. But I was fascinated by a story years ago when the railroads were wanting to combine the East Coast, where the Atlantic Ocean is, to the West Coast. It was a philosophy that was going on in America. It was called manifest destiny. It was this idea that America's destiny, literally the sovereign will of God, that America should be from sea to shining sea. And literally, if you'll recall, the telegraph wires did outdate the Pony Express very quickly when they got those poles up and those wires there. But what they really wanted more than just the telegraph was they wanted the railroad to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. And so a race came on between the Pacific, I think the Union Pacific and the Central Pacific, whatever they, I think they both had Pacific names on them, even though the Pacific is a Western land. And they started getting land from the government, and they started building track and building track. And they met at a place in Utah, Promontory Point, Utah, where the last rails would be laid and the last spike would be driven. And according to history, it was a golden spike. And what they did with that golden spike, there was a they wrapped telegraph wire around that spike, and they placed it on that rail and on that board. And a gentleman named Stanford, who was in charge of the Western operation, in fact, Stanford University would later be named for him because he would come up with the money for it. He took them all, and he just started hammering it in. And every time that hammer came down on that spike, it made a sound on the telegraph wires, and it wasn't a word, it wasn't even a letter, but it really made a message that said connecting, 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 connecting. And finally, when it got finally driven in there, there was that connection from sea to shining sea. And I want to relate that because I want you to think about the way that Jesus describes. Because he's saying, I am the way. You know, the Bible reminds us that our sins were nailed on him. And I want you to think, it may have been spikes perhaps a little smaller than this one. Certainly, they wouldn't have been gold. But as they were being hammered in to his hands, hammered in, hammered in, hammered in, it was connecting, 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 connecting. And the separation that had existed between God and man was coming down because he was connecting, connecting the Son of God to sinful man. Only by the shedding of his blood could we come to Christ. Only by the shedding of his blood could we be made righteous in the sight of God. It would be a way, it would be a bridge that nothing else would ever be able to accomplish. Try as you might, and people do their very best to do good works, but the word says salvation is by grace, through faith, through believing, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus because of the connecting, the connecting, the connecting, and the way that Jesus would provide. There's an old hymn that says, the way of the cross leads home. Make no mistake, it's the only way to come home to glory. So he is the way. But the Bible says he is the truth. In the 70th chapter of John, you know, I remember one time at boys camp, there was a guy, I think his name was Steve Brown. He used to play football for the Missouri Tigers. I remember we got to talk about scripture. We were talking about Proverbs. We were talking about people coming under conviction. He said, you know, I'm convinced, tell them to read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John literally every word 3 times. I don't see how you could ever say no to Christ. And I hadn't thought about it, but the Gospel of John is powerful. It's a wonderful beginning point for a new believer because no holds barred, no punches pulled. He's the answer. And all through that scripture, and let's don't let me chase some things, but let's look at what the Lord meant when he said, I'm the truth. In John 17, where the Lord, the entire chapter, is the Lord praying for the disciples, praying for you and I, folks that would come after and believe in the word that these disciples would share of Christ, about the gospel. But one of the things he said, and I can't give you a number in that 17th chapter, is he said to the Father, sanctify them by truth. Your word, Father, is truth. Now this business of sanctification for a believer is so critical. It's that ongoing work. It's that edification. It's that growth. It's that strength. You know, Max Lucado would say, you know, God loves you just the way you are, but he absolutely refuses to leave you that way. And you might just take inventory. You know, where am I now? This is 2019. This is September. Where am I in comparison to where I was last fall? Where am I in comparison to when my first child was born? Where am I? As to the point of in my life when I took a bride, and for me that was a long time ago, 50 years. Where am I in my walk with you? And let the Spirit of God absolutely touch my life and speak to my life and strengthen me as only the Word of God can. You know, Jesus said in the 8th chapter of John, you remember the 8th chapter is that chapter about the woman taken in adultery, and all those stones, they just thud, they just drop right down. You know, the very first verse, after all those men walk away from that encounter with the Lord, Jesus speaks and says, I am the light of the world. He that cometh after me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. What's he talking about? He's talking about the light of life that brings truth to my mind, truth to my thoughts about who the Lord really is. You know, as he was teaching there, and he was getting all kind of flack there in that 14th chapter from the Pharisees and the teachers, there came to a point about verse 30 where the Bible says in John chapter 8, many of his disciples put their faith in him. And Jesus said about verse 31, I tell you, if you abide in my word, you will really be my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Pharisees looked at him, and they said, how can you say, be made free? We are sons of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. And Jesus responded to them by saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who commits sin is a slave to sin and does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains in the house forever. And brethren, listen to me. If the Son sets you free, you're really free. You know, I think about abiding in the house forever. I thought about the 23rd Psalm, and you know the last parts of the 23rd Psalm say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will abide, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Those words don't mean a thing if you don't have Jesus, because you won't abide in the house forever. You may come in, and you may go out. You may have those warm fuzzies that think, my, I need to do something about that. I need to be more faithful to God. I need to take seriously this invitation and this conviction that I have to trust Christ and allow him to be Lord of my life, because I want that for my life. But until you really initiate and make the choice for Christ, you're on the outside, and you're not abiding in his house. You may visit occasionally. You may sense his conviction occasionally. But here's the deal, folks. When the Spirit of God convicts, that's when you need to respond. Don't feel like you're going to come to a point in your life on a deathbed confession and everything's going to be tight and you're just going to cry out and say, Lord, would you save me? Because if the Spirit of God is not convicting you of a need for a Savior, it'll just be so many words. And that's why we realize that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And then I think about him not only being the way and the truth, but I find life in Christ. You know, one of the first things that I ever learned about sharing the plan of salvation, or sharing with someone that didn't know Christ Jesus as Lord of his life, a good way to begin is John chapter 10, verse 10. And that word is a good word. You know, the Bible says a thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Not just a pulse, not just going through the motions, not just humdrum, oh me, oh my, whatever. You know, as Dan was talking about this idea, I am who you say I am, or I am who I say I am. You know, as he was getting ready to say one of the differences, this expression, whatever, whatever, I hate that expression. Some young person like, whatever, you know, you try to discipline, whatever, meaning I'm going to do my own thing, thank you very much. I'm not going to submit to you. I'm not going to submit to anyone because I'm the big dog. And I think sometimes we really struggle with those kind of thoughts. And I say that because this passage in John 10:10 helps us understand that we want to live to all the fullness. I love Psalms 103. Psalms 103 is one of these upbeat, get after it, glory to his holy name. It starts by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And it goes on to say, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems us from the pit. And hang on to this fifth verse, because I love this verse. Who satisfies us with good, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. I thought about that verse when I went over it. In fact, the first time I preached this message on a memory basis and not reading it from Scripture, I got through those first four verses, piece of cake. But I got to verse four, and I drew a blank. I thought, what is that fifth verse? What is that fifth verse? And I threw something out there, but I know it wasn't right. And later on in the message, it came to me, who satisfies us with good, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, when I was a young guy trying to make extra money, I put up a lot of hay, and it was hard work. And I mean, it would just ring out. I mean, it was like today, perhaps. Well, I wasn't just standing there talking. I was bucking bales and getting them up there, and sometimes it was three high, and sometimes it was four high, and sometimes I was in a barn, and they were round bales, and I was taking a hay hook, and I was breathing more hay material than I could air. I mean, it was hard work. And yet, something about a day, and you'd get your wage at the end of the day, and you'd go home, and you'd hit the shower, and you'd think, let's go out and get after it. Let's just get after it. I mean, you had energy. You were ready to rock and roll. And that's the way it is with young people. I mean, it doesn't take much at all for them to get renewed and ready to physically be about life. And that's a wonderful thing. Not nearly, though, as wonderful as this idea. He's going to renew my life like a young person, like those days when I was so excited and loved to sing and loved to share and loved to worship and loved to get next to my wife and loved to interact with my three boys. Love those things. You know, I found in teaching school and pastoring, for me, it was just a wonderful fit for me, because I love preaching. I could have a horrible football team, and by Wednesday night, I could go to Bible study, and somehow the Lord made me forget how those lazy rascals weren't running their 40s, you know, that sort of thing. But one thing complemented the other thing, and when school was out in May, I'll confess to you, I look forward to it. I counted the days. I was glad. Huh, summertime. They say the three biggest reasons for school teaching is June, July, and August. Those are right there. One of those things. But here's the deal. I also found, and I know the Lord did this, and I know he did it to me because he loved me, because I was his child. August starts to roll around, and I'd start thinking, oh, man, I'll be glad school starts. Wonder what my class is going to be. Wonder what my football team's going to be. What's going on? And even post-football. And there was a time in my life about, 91 to 96 or 7, that I didn't do anything. I didn't have junior high. I didn't have high school. I would end up with junior high, and I found that that's another story. I could preach another message about working with junior high kids, because they're really fun. They really are. But I love that coming back in there. I love that renewal, that satisfying me with good. I love the interaction with young people. I love the dialogue with other school teachers. I love coming alongside a rookie teacher and trying to encourage and help them to realize, hey, you're going to get there. I mean, you've worked too hard. Don't chuck on me now. Hang in there. I mean, that's the Lord at work in our life. And so when the Lord said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, open your eyes and recognize that, yes, we need the blessing with all of our soul, with all of our being. And now, I share those three thoughts about him being the way and the truth and the life, that only his death on a grave could connect me and separate and break that wall of sin down, that only his willingness to allow his word to touch our lives in such a way. You know, we talked about the word and the water of the word on the second night of our revival and how men's and women's lives were changed just by his speaking to them. You know, he touched people, and he even took saliva and made mud and put them on. He did marvelous things. But I continue to look at how he touched them with his word, the truth, the freedom. Galatians 5, chapter 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Martin Luther King said, free at last, free at last. Even Robin Williams in that Aladdin thing, when he gets out of the confines of the bonds and the shekels of being a genie all wrapped up in a bottle. And I know that's fantasy, but Robin Williams could say things like, free at last, free at last. All of those words resonate with me because those words come from God. They really do. And there's something that liberates. And so, brethren, as we come this morning to invitation, I want you to think for a few moments where you are. Because this morning, if you're a believer and you're not exercising the freedom that God has allowed for you to have by allowing the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, to pay your sin price, He wants you a breakout. He wants some changes to be made. If this morning, in all honesty, and you were to just come face to face, if the Lord would just kind of casually walk through the openings of that tent and stop right there and look about this area, recognizing who are His and who are not His, He's not going to have a problem with that. There are going to be many He's going to say, get away from me, depart from me, I don't know you, I've never known you. We play games with God, thinking everything's fine, when in reality, we are in charge. The Lord of our life is moi. We need to see that. When the scripture says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, it means moi is being put aside. And you're going to die to the way of life with you leading it. You're going to die to the idea of thinking you have all the answers because you don't have all the answers. Your ways are not God's ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. But the bottom line is He loves you. And if you'll confess Him as Lord and believe in your heart, mean with your being, with your soul, with your mind, that God did defeat death with His resurrection, God does a wonder of grace in your life. Now, here's the thing. And there have not been a lot of moves this week. I know the Lord's been about a work in the life of this church, in the hearts and minds of believers. I want to share with you. I know there was a time in my high school years when, you know, I was out a long way from my walk with the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, the thing that would call me back to the church and call me back to the gospel was when I couldn't perform playing ball. And I always felt like if I just get back into church, the Lord would kind of open some doors and maybe I'd start hitting that basket. Or maybe I could hit that baseball, or maybe that football wouldn't be so difficult. Small school, you know, if I was half as good as I thought it was, I'd have been great. I wasn't. You know, it's one of those things. They say 5 miles out of town and 5 years down the road, you can be anything you want to be. I'm not going to tell you I was great because I wasn't. But I sure had a good time with it. And those times that the Lord drew me next to Him just to kind of ask and seek and knock, bless my life. But one Sunday morning, I think I was probably a sophomore or a junior, I knew I needed to go up and rededicate my life. And I did, and I wasn't ashamed of it. And I just told the preacher, I'm just coming to rededicate my life. It was an invitation that whoever was preaching, whether it was our pastor or an evangelist in revival, I don't know. But I shared that with them. What a load came off of my heart and my mind. But here's the thing. The reason I gave that illustration wasn't because I was a real holy guy or anything like that, because I wasn't. But I saw countless youngsters after that in the next weeks. I saw that in my wife's life when she would go and make commitment to rededicate her life in the small rural church she was a part of. Other youngsters, man, that's where I am. That's what I need. Why do I just sit and sour and soak? I don't act on what the Spirit of God is saying needs to happen in my life. And so I know it's just a kind of a grassy old pasture up here. You know, last night I was wandering around. I was preaching to the fowls and the birds out there in the side area and stuff. I've come to self-gravitate. I've got my Bible open. That white shows up good. But my point is this. If the Lord's calling you to come up to rededicate your life, to come up and perhaps take my hand and say, Boone, I'm coming for Jesus this morning. My coming is my way of saying I'm trusting Him. I'm confessing Him. I believe in Him. I'm giving Him all. My soul, my life, my all. You know, that last verse of When I Survey says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. That's what God wants from your life. Dan's going to lead us now in a hymn of decision, a hymn of invitation. And if the Lord is leading you to decision in this invitation time, don't just sit and hold back. Respond. Step for the Lord. Honor your commitment to Him by willing to step out. Let others see Jesus in you as you move for the Lord today.